This morning, we're going to be talking about knowledge, wisdom, and action. And we're going to start with a little quiz. And so this quiz is a Bible knowledge quiz. We're going to test your knowledge. So for the first question, and these are all about children, is the category. Children in the Bible. So who was the widow who met the baby Jesus at the temple? Was it Anna? Someone screamed it out. All right. We're getting ready to go here. All right, Anna, yes, that's the correct answer. All right, let's go to the next one. Which child was born into the house of Levi and was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter? Was it Aaron, Joseph, Samuel, or Moses? Moses, that's correct. Hannah, his mother, dedicated him to the Lord, and he became the last judge of Israel. Daniel, Samuel, Joshua, or Samson? Samuel is the correct answer. By commandment of God, this boy was prepared as a burnt offering, but was spared just in time. Ishmael, Isaac, Jacob, or Esau? Isaac is correct. What young man was sold into slavery by his brothers? Joseph. Gosh, you guys are really ruining this for me. People are going to be listening to the tape, and they're not going to have any idea what's happening. Whose mother would bring him a coat every year when he worked in the temple? Joseph, Moses, Samuel, or Jonah? Samuel is correct. What was David doing when Samuel called to anoint him king? Was he hunting, tending sheep, killing a lion, or playing the harp? Tending sheep is correct. Who once caught 300 foxes, tied them together in pairs with firebrands on their tails, and loosed them into his enemy's cornfields to set their crops on fire? Samson, that's right. And this child was a twin and Abraham's grandson. His mother's name was Rebekah. Was it Isaac, Joseph, Ishmael, or Esau? Esau is correct. Good job. How'd you do? Not too bad, right? Okay. Because you had knowledge. You have knowledge of Scripture, which is good. And even if you didn't do well, that's okay, because knowledge is something that can be learned. It's something that is necessary for our growth as Christians, but it's also something that can be learned. Psalm 119 says, I believe in your commands. Now teach me good judgment and knowledge. It's something that can be taught. It gives us the foundation of truth and the foundation which to govern our lives and to make decision. Now, David says this about God's knowledge. O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. God's knowledge, of course, is infinitely more than what we could ever hope to have. But God's knowledge also gives us a comfort knowing that God has that knowledge and God knows what's going to happen. He knows each one of us. Knowledge is something that we shouldn't be afraid of. It should be something that we seek out through learning, through education. How long, you simpletons, will you insist on being simple-minded? How long will you mockers relish your mocking? How long will you fools hate knowledge? And Proverbs says, get all the advice and instruction you can so you'll be wise the rest of your life. Seek out that knowledge. Learn as much as you can about God, about Scripture, about the world. And know that the foundation of that knowledge, the foundation of everything that we learn, everything we discover, everything that we seek out, is the Lord. Proverbs says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. But of course, having the knowledge of something is not the same as being able to apply that knowledge, is it? Knowledge is not enough by itself. We have to couple that with wisdom. You have to have wisdom in order to apply the knowledge that you learn. I'm going to do another trivia game for you here. This time it's survival trivia. All right, your Cessna pilot dies mid-flight and you take the controls. What is your best option for a crash landing? A lake, a small clearing among old growth, or an orchard? The actual answer is C. The small trees of the orchard will often better shock absorption than water, and you won't drown if you get knocked out. All right, number two. A child has fallen on the New York City subway tracks. In a moment of bravery, you leap down and hoist her back onto the platform, but there's no time to climb out ahead of the oncoming train. Now what do you do? Do you drop to the track between the rails and lie prone? Do you flatten yourself against the side of the platform? Or do you leap over the far rail toward the opposite side of the tunnel? A is your best bet, though it's not a sure bet. So, it says some trains do leave room for a prone person, depending on the track, but others will not leave room. So, at least you saved the little girl. All right. You're rappelling when your harness breaks. Thankfully, it's only 20 feet to the deck. How should you land? On your back, slapping the ground hard with your arms to disperse the fall's energy. Flesh is your friend, your rump cheek. On your side, so your rib cage can protect your organs. Or D, feet first, rolling sideways to your hip and then shoulder. D is correct. It's called the parachute landing fall, and it helps your body absorb shock. He says, keep your arms in and your feet together until you hit the ground, rolling from your feet to your hip and then finishing on your shoulder. Remember that when you're slipping on the ice this winter. All right, you and your friend are 5 miles from the trailhead when you break your ankle. You should A, send your friend to get search and rescue. B, get going. That's a long way to hobble, even with a shoulder to lean on. C, make your friend wait until your help arrives. Or D, build a shelter out of sticks and look for tinder. Not a lot of consensus on this one. The answer is B. The only reason to wait for rescue or send your friend out to mobilize one is if you're utterly lost or physically unable to continue. The average rescue mission takes 4 hours to start. So if you don't want to be out there for 4 hours, you want to try to hobble back. All right, you're driving down a windy mountain road, and your brakes stop working. You immediately downshift, but now what? Do you aim for a soft spot on the uphill side of the road and crank the wheel? Do you gently ease into a section of guardrail and don't look down? Do you honk your horn, flash your lights, and keep it between the lines, baby? Or do you throw your hands up and shout, Jesus, take the wheel? You could try, but they said that if you apply it too fast, you'll spin around. If you apply your parking brake. It says B is the answer. According to the Aspen Winter Driving Experience, guardrails will hold and absorb energy as long as you don't T-bone them, which is what will most likely happen if you ricochet off the uphill side of the road. So as long as you don't T-bone them. All right, you ski out of bounds at a resort to score powder, turns only to find yourself lost and waist deep in fluffy snow. What do you do now? Do you stop, sit, and... Yeah, you never go in the first place. Do you stop, sit, and wait for the ski patrol? Do you contour the hill to try and reach a lift? Do you keep skiing, water goes downhill to civilization? Or do you retrace your track leaning on your paired skis for flotation and traction? Yeah, D is the right one. Climbing your way back up the hill will generate heat and will lead you back to the ski area, and ski patrol is likely going to search for you on the track that you already made. Answers B and C, going down the hill, have a 50-50 chance of leading you deeper into the wilderness. All right, and the last one. Reverse moderate hypothermia by climbing into your sleeping bag naked, clothed, naked with a friend, or clothed with a friend. Actually, it is B. As long as your clothes are dry, get straight into your bag with hot water bottles if possible. A warm body can help, but if your friend is already cold, you're just risking two cases of hypothermia. The chestnut about getting naked was likely invented by a lonely wilderness instructor. You have to have the knowledge, but then you also have to be able to put it into action, which is where wisdom comes in. You have to have the wisdom to take what you know and apply it to real life situations. And true wisdom, just like true knowledge, is rooted in God. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey His commandments will grow in wisdom. My child, listen to what I say and treasure my commands. Tune your ears to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver. Seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the paths of the just and protects those who are faithful to Him. God is the ultimate source and giver of knowledge and wisdom. Now, one enemy of wisdom, one enemy of knowledge is pride. Pride destroys what God intends for good. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Our attitude that we have, the attitude that we have toward wisdom and learning and knowledge, shapes who we will become. And a prideful attitude will lead us to disgrace and to trouble. Now, the purpose of wisdom and knowledge is not an end to itself. It is then to use those things that we learning how to use that knowledge, and then to take action with those things. Proverbs says, fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. It has a result of good judgment. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. There is an action required. You have to make that effort to turn from evil. You've learned what you need to learn. You've learned how to apply it to life. But there's one more step, and that's the action step. You have to put it into practice. Solomon was the wisest man in the world, but he did not always put that wisdom into godly action. He made bad choices throughout his life, and at the end of his life, he said that everything was meaningless. He had wasted all of his knowledge and all of his wisdom, made foolish choices that were not part of God's will for his life. David says this, take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Don't let me drift toward evil or take part in acts of wickedness. Don't let me share in the delicacies of those who do wrong. Our actions matter. What we do with our knowledge, how we use our wisdom, matters to the Lord. And when we stand before the Lord on Judgment Day, He's not going to ask us, how much did you know? He's going to say, look at what we did. That's why it's so important that when we're talking about reaching Hayes in 2015, we need to look and see how can we do something. Just knowing that there are needs or just knowing that God can help people is not enough. It takes our action. How can we connect people to God? A couple of you have shared with me some great ideas that you have for reaching Hayes, and I'm excited to read those and to hear about them. But now that we have some ideas, we have to find a way to do them. Because just having the good ideas, just having the knowledge, just having the wisdom, isn't enough. Talking about reaching people and talking about helping them with God's love doesn't really help anyone, does it? Just like having wisdom and knowledge isn't a means to itself. It is a means to the ends of action. Even with limited resources, we can still help those in need. Many of you have heard the story of the boy who's walking on the seashores, throwing the starfish back into the water. And a man comes up to him and says, "Why are you wasting all your time throwing starfish? There's hundreds of starfish on this beach. You'll never be able to save them all. You're never going to make a difference to all of these starfish." And the little boy picks up another starfish and he throws it into the water. And he says, "I made a difference for that one." Everything that we do has the ability to make a difference. And we can't solve the world's problems all at once, but we can help that one person. We can be that one person that we help, or this one community that we can help. Even children are known by the way they act, whether their conduct is pure and whether it is right. We will be known by our actions, not by what we say we know or the wisdom that we claim to have. Listen to what Jesus says about action. "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. You can tell people's hearts and motives by their actions, by what they do, not necessarily what they say, because you know the old saying, 'Do what I say, not as I do.' How well does that work when you're parenting? Not very well. Okay, you tell people, know what they believe by what their actions are." Jesus continues, "Not everyone who calls out to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name.' But I will reply, 'I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws.'" Breaking God's laws shows that we don't truly have Jesus first and foremost in our lives. Not showing God's love to others shows that we don't truly understand the impact that the gospel has had on each one of us. Because if we really grasped what Jesus did for us and the love that he had for us to love someone as bad as we are or as good as we think we are, we would be out there sharing the message of the gospel and sharing the message of God's love with people that we meet. Listen again to the words of Jesus. "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on the bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching," Jesus speaking, "and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the wind beats against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." What kind of foundation are we building? It has to have knowledge, it has to have wisdom, but it has to have action. We have to have all three of those things in our lives. Do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says. To know God's plan and to know God's ways is not enough. We have to act. Will you pray with me? God our Father, we thank you for the message of the gospel of Jesus. We thank you that you did act, God. You saw us in distress. You saw us with our need of salvation. And you sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. We thank you for that gift, and we pray that with that knowledge that we have of this sacrifice that you have made, that we will act based on that, God, and that we will show love to those around us so that all might know that you alone are Lord and Savior of all. In Jesus' name we pray.
You've been listening to Pastor Kevin Daniels at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.